Our speaker this morning is Alex Jimenez. Alex is our Bible worker up at Kern River Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church. You've been there since, what, about September? And so he's ending his time with us about the middle of this next month in May. So he's been a blessing to us up there, and I'm sure he'll be a blessing to you this morning. So please join me silently as we pray for Alex as he brings us a message from God that I'm excited about hearing. So thank you so much for being here.
Morning to you all and happy Sabbath. How's everyone doing? As Pastor Timmy has mentioned, I am the Bible worker for the Kern River Valley Seventh-day Adventist Church in Lake Isabella. And the 9 months that I was up there went by rather quickly, but I am thankful for the experience that God has given me there. And by the grace of God, I have been able to knock on several doors throughout the last couple of months. And I have been able to give Bible studies to people in the communities, amen? And by the grace of God, some of them are really enjoying the truth that God has been helping me to present. And I know that God not only wants to use me in that way, but I know that He wants to use every single one of us. I invite you to bow your heads with me for a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for another day of life. Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you have given us, a day where you desire to sanctify us and to set us apart, a sign between you and your people. And Lord, I pray most importantly that you would speak through me this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would save every single person under the sound of my voice here this morning. Lord, I pray that our minds would be open and that our hearts may be ready to receive whatever you have to tell us in your word today. Father, be with every single person here once again. Forgive us our sins. I humbly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start by reading a statement to you that is found in Volume 5 of the Testimonies, and it's found in page 707 and paragraph 2. Listen to the words of Ellen White. She says, "I have been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of present truth know not what they believe. They do not understand the evidences of their faith. They have no just appreciation of the work for the present time. When the time of trial shall come, there are men now preaching to others who will find, upon examining the positions they hold, that there are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason. Until thus tested, they knew not their great ignorance. And there are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand what they believe, but until controversy arises, they do not know their own weakness. When separated from those of like faith and compelled to stand singly and alone to explain their belief, they will be surprised to see how confused are their ideas of what they had accepted as truth. Certain it is that there has been among us a departure from the living God, and a turning to men, putting human place of divine wisdom." What is Ellen White saying here? Do we understand what we believe according to this quote, yes or no? Why? Amen. I agree. I want to read to you one more quote. It's about the same length, but stay with me, brothers and sisters. It's found in Great Controversy, page 608, paragraph 1. She says, "As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through the obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light, and when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy and popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address who once rejoiced in the truth employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls." Listen to this. they become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. Isn't that solemn to know that some of your closest friends in the church in the last days, there is a chance that those people will turn against you and will be used by Satan to lead you astray? How many of you here have heard of Elder D.M. Cantwright? Several people, okay. He was a pioneer in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this individual became an evangelist. He learned about the truth. He decided to become an evangelist for the church. And pretty soon, within the next 10 years of him preaching, he ended up getting something in his throat that didn't allow him to speak the same as he used to. So he was taken into the sanitarium by Dr. Kellogg, and he recovered rather quickly. And he was counseled by Ellen White that he should go and get some training from a speech teacher in Chicago to help him with the speaking. And while he was getting training, he was actually invited to go and speak at a local church. And his teacher said, "Hey, listen, Brother Cantwright, I'm gonna make sure that you're speaking correctly. I'm going to do everything that I can to help you while you're speaking at this church." And so there he was, and Elder Cantwright began getting into the message. And after the message, his teacher approached him and he said, "Brother Cantwright, I wasn't able to actually critique you because I was so engrossed in the message, but praise God for the way that he's using you." And he looked at his brother and he said, "I could be a much popular man if it wasn't for this unpopular message." Elder Cantwright ended up becoming a Baptist 2 weeks later, and he joined the ranks of opposition. Do you see how prophecy is being fulfilled just like Ellen White said? She said that some of the people in our faith will become bitter towards us and will be used by Satan to deceive us. And today we will examine that there are three reasons why God allows heresies to come into the church. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. First Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. And if you can give me an amen when you arrive. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. Shall we read the scripture together? For there must what? Heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There might be heresies according to the verse, right? Is that what it says? Must. Why? What does it mean to be manifest? Revealed, shown, right? Here we see the first point of the message is that God will use heresies to separate the wheat from the chaff. Those that are approved and those that are not approved. And as we continue on in our study this morning, we will see as we go on what exactly it means to be approved. Now, Paul was not surprised that false gospels were creeping into the church because he always dealt with that in his time. But now I invite you to turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Are you there? I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? Another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Are there many gospels in the world today, yes or no? You know, there was an individual by the name of Desmond Ford. How many of you here have heard of Desmond Ford? Everyone should be raising their hands. Something very sad took place when he stood up in the 1980s and presented some of his views on Adventism. He came to the conclusion that there was no sanctuary, came to the conclusion that he believed in original sin, and that there was no way that we would ever have victory over sin. But I'm here to tell you today that that's a false gospel. You can have victory over sin, friends. And I hope that you won't ever let anyone tell you that you can't conquer the cultivated and the hereditary sins in your life. This is what Desmond Ford said in his book. I forgot what it's called. I don't recommend that you read it, but I want to read to you a statement from this book that he wrote. He says, "The bad news in the book of Romans is that every thought that we have is defiled. Every motion of our heart, every tendency of our mind, and every inclination of the flesh is tainted in every one of us until the second coming of Jesus and glorification. Sin remains in the Christian until glorification." Now, in the book 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, we are told there, "Wherefore, dearly beloved, seeing we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." According to that verse, the Bible tells us that we can have victory over sin. The gospel that he was teaching, you know what he was saying? This is what he's simply saying, that the gospel does not free us from sin. It simply just takes away the condemnation that we deserve. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 6 and let's see what the Bible has to say about his view. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17. I still hear some pages flipping, so we will wait until everyone arrives to the scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Verse 22, "But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Are we made free from sin, yes or no? When what takes place? Now, can sin come back into the life, yes or no? Someone can lose their salvation. But the Bible makes it clear that if we stay close to Jesus, he can help us to get rid of that sin in our lives. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. In the book Evangelism, page 224 and paragraph 3, Ellen White says, "The enemy will bring in false theories, such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith." When Desmond Ford presented his views in the late 1980s, many people left the church. I heard stories of people that were confused about what they believed because they were not grounded in the scriptures. So when Desmond Ford presented his ideas, guess what? I don't want to be lost, so I better yield to his beliefs because if I don't, I'm going to be lost. And in reality, those who never understood what they believed simply joined the ranks of opposition. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, page 707, paragraph 3. "God will arouse his people. If other means fail, heresies will come in among them, which will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat. The Lord calls upon all who believe his word to awake out of sleep." Why do heresies come into the church? According to Volume 5 of the Testimonies, what page? What paragraph? Oh, you guys are good, man. God will use heresies to separate the wheat from the chaff. Amen? Listen to this. "When the shaking comes," oh, you guys are on it. We got a good congregation this morning. "By the introduction of false theories, these surface readers, anchored nowhere, are like shifting sand. They slide into any position to suit the tenor of their feelings of bitterness." There are many people who read, but they don't study. You understand the difference between reading and studying? John 3:16, you read the text, oh, that's nice. There's a difference between reading and studying. And we are told that in the last days, surface readers are going to be lost. Because in Great Controversy, page 594, she tells us, none but those who have fortified their minds with the truths of this time will stand to the last great conflict. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, are you there? Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You see, friends, the reality is that some people will just sift themselves out of the church because they will place people behind the pulpit that will soothe their ears. And aren't we seeing that everywhere today? People don't like to hear the truth, friends. But when we preach the truth, we ought to preach it in love, because we love the brethren. Second reason why God allows heresies to come into the church. We've seen that the first reason why God allows heresies to come into the church is to do what? Good. Second reason, heresies will creep into the church to see who will stand up to protect the flock. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught their brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Is that true, yes or no? No, that was done away with, correct? You know what's interesting? Every single heresy, without exception almost, is always presented in the context of your salvation. They say, if you don't believe this way, or if you don't think this way, or if you don't present the truth this way, you're going to be lost. And so guess what the surface readers do? They get scared, and they're like, oh man, I better yield to what they're saying, or I'm going to be lost. So it's interesting, but Paul and Barnabas, they noticed that they were men who knew the scriptures very well, and they actually sent them to Jerusalem to discuss this matter. Does anyone know who else they discussed this matter with at the Council of Jerusalem? Who else was there? Who else? A group of people, plural. More than one, no. Elders. They were discussing this matter with the elders. Now, elders, let me tell you something. Protect your church from the heresies that are coming into the church. I believe that many people would be saved from heresies that come into the church if you simply would go up to someone and ask them, brother, how are you doing? Or sister, how are you doing? How have you been? And you genuinely care about them. They would probably tell you that they are struggling spiritually. But here we are, friends, coming to church. We enjoy the seats that we take, we go to potluck and we enjoy it, and here we don't realize that our brothers and sisters sitting next to us in the pews are dying spiritually. And they go home, and we don't even know that they're dying spiritually. If we would just simply go up to them and tell them, brother, God bless you, or let's go to each other's house and let's study the Bible, I believe that many of them would be saved from the heresies that are taking place in our church. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Brothers, don't allow false teachings to come into the church. Protect the flock. Elders and church members, protect each other. Ellen White says in Last Day Events, page 156.2, we have far more to fear from what? Within than from without. The hindrances to strength and success are far greater from the church itself than from the world. Let's go to verse 2 of Acts chapter 15. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And then if you read the story further on, we realize that they sent letters back with Paul and Barnabas telling the people that they shouldn't be troubled or given more than that which they already have. And they give them four things to do, which we will not go over. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 15 and verse 19. In verse 28 with the letter, they say, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no further burden than these necessary things. By the way, this verse shows that the Holy Spirit has the ability to reason and to think, and that it is more than a force. Are you with me? Praise God for Paul and Barnabas for saving the church. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Are we there? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the what? The flock. Over the which the Holy Ghost had made you what? Overseers. To feed the church of God. Why? Because he has purchased them with his blood. Friends, don't just feed the flock once a week on the Sabbath day. Go over to people's homes and teach them the Bible. You know, I look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says that God has given the gift of some to be apostles, teachers, evangelists, prophets. But I don't see in that text that God gives to some the gift of being a Bible worker. Why? Because God has called every single one of us to be Bible workers. Amen? Not just out of the church, but within the church, because our church is dying spiritually. You know, I believe that if we don't protect the flock, or we don't understand the solemn warning that God has given us to protect the flock, it's simply because we haven't understood the great sacrifice that Christ went through to pay for them. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are we there? I still hear some pages flipping. That's all right. We'll get there eventually. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to how many? One husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Read verse 3 with me. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from what? That is in Christ. Verse 4, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul is talking to the church here, and he's telling the church that he wants to present them as a chaste virgin unto Christ. And the reason for that is so that when Jesus returns, he can receive his church. We are to be a pure church, friends, and we are to watch over each other to make sure that we are not deceived by the winds of doctrine in our church. We've seen reason number one why God allows heresies to come into the church is for what reason? Second reason? Amen. And reason number three, God will allow heresies to come into the church to wake his people up to study the word. I want to invite you again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, or rather 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 19, excuse me. We're going to go there again, and we're going to look at this from a slightly different angle. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 19. Are we there? For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. The question is, who are those that are approved? Can you think of a text that mentions the word approved in there? Ah, good. Where is that found? That's all right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Let's go there. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Are we there? Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In these last days, friends, those that are approved are those that study so that they can discern the heresies. You know, Seventh-day Adventists, we used to be called the people of the what? Of the book. Are we still the people of the book today, yes or no? The red books of Ellen White have become the unread books. We have rejected the spirit of prophecy and the Bible. Now, we don't say it up front, I don't believe in the Bible, or I don't believe in the spirit of prophecy, but we demonstrate it by our actions. We have a lot of free time throughout the day, but it's taken up by doing other things that we shouldn't be doing. And I believe that we should take that more serious, friends, to study God's word. There are many false doctrines coming into the church, and we must be prepared to stand. Fifth volume of the Testimonies, page 273.2. It's probably the fourth or fifth time I've read to you a quote from the Testimonies, but they're very important, and we should all read them. Our people need to understand the oracles of God. They need to have a systematic knowledge of the principles revealed truth, which will fit them for what is coming upon the earth and prevent them from being carried about by every wind of doctrine. The key word in this quote is the word systematic. What does it mean that something is systematic? Consistent. So should we have a good understanding of only the state of the dead? No. We should have a good understanding of the state of the dead, the investigative judgment, the second coming of Jesus, the millennium, and every one of the other beliefs that we have in our church. That's what it means to have a systematic knowledge. And the only way that we can get a systematic knowledge of the scriptures is by opening up the word of God and seeing the plain, thus saith the Lord. Friends, when you grab your Bibles, use other versions too. Compare scripture upon scripture, line upon line, and precept upon precept, and you will see that God will bless your studies tremendously. And you will see that when an erroneous theory in the church is presented, you will be surprised at how much God has blessed you with, especially when it comes to knowledge. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. I still hear some pages flipping. That's all right. Some of us are still getting acquainted with the books. That's okay. I study the Bible with people, and you should see the very first time they are trying to get acquainted with the Bible, they have a very difficult time. By the second or third study, they're flipping through the Bible like it's no big deal, so praise God for that. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures once a week. Daily. whether those things were so. Are we searching the scriptures daily? I don't ask you to raise your hands for this one, but are we searching the scriptures daily? Ask yourself this question. Friends, we need to start searching the scriptures. And when I mean search, we need to search as if we're looking for gold. Digging for something important. Are you with me? Yes or no? As Randy Ski will say, some of you look politely confused when I say things like that. Amen. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they what? They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Not once in this text does it say that those who have a head knowledge will be saved. Do you know why I say that? Because the people in our church have a very good understanding of the scriptures. But do you know what they lack? The heart experience that we should have through the study of the scriptures. That's what they lack. I'll never forget the time when I was a student at Souls West. And while I was a student there, we were learning the book of Revelation. We had a class there. And in our last semester, our teacher pulled us all aside. He said, we're going to skip class today. Everyone grab your Bibles, and we're going to go out into the forest, and we're going to do a specific activity. All of us were thinking, what is this guy thinking? You know, are we supposed to have class and learn the book of Revelation? So he said, come on, follow me. So we all sat down out in the forest. And he looked at all of us, and with tears in his eyes, he said, this is probably one of the brightest classes that I've ever had. But I fear for you guys, because you guys are brilliant, but I fear that some of you have not had the heart experience that we should have through the study of the book of Revelation. And he said, I tell you this today, that many people who can explain the seven trumpets to the core will experience a second death. Friends, we need more than just a head knowledge of the scriptures. We need the experience in our hearts. We need to receive the love of the truth. I think about my experience when I gave my life to Christ at 17 years old, 3 years ago. And I remember the pastor who converted my family would come over and he would tell my mother, I'm worried about your son. He's out here in the world doing all these different things and I fear that he hasn't given his life to God. And my mom would tell me, and I would say, I don't care about that stuff. Don't talk to me about religion. I could care less about it. And finally, the day when he died of cancer, there I was at his funeral. And I wept because I realized that this man wanted me to be saved, to receive the love of the truth. My heart was hard. And I realized I need to give my life to Christ, and I need to start searching the scriptures for myself. And beloved, I received the love of the truth by the grace of God. If you received the love of the truth 20 or 30 years ago, that's not enough, because we must receive the love of the truth every single day of our lives. The moment we wake up to spend time with Jesus, we should guard that time very closely. Today in Sabbath school, I really appreciate how Gil was talking about Matthew chapter 7, how when some people will approach Jesus, he's going to say to them, I never knew you. It's not that he didn't know who they were intellectually. It just means that they did not have a personal relationship with him. And that's what God's people need today, friends. A personal experience with God. The love of the truth. What is the truth? Well, Jesus says in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Guess what, friends? The Jews, did they know the prophecies? Yes or no? But what happened? What did they do to Jesus? They crucified Jesus. We are now spiritual Israel, and we are in more danger of crucifying Jesus than was ancient Israel. I want to close with one final story. I mentioned this in my last sermon that I preached here in December. It's about a man by the name of Moses Hull. How many of you here have heard of Moses Hull? Raise your hands. We have a couple of people. Okay. If you don't know who he is, you will. Moses Hull was a very skilled apologist within the Seventh-day Adventist Church when the Advent movement began. And if this is correct to say, he specialized in debating spiritualists. Well, what happened is spiritualists would come up to Christians and they would say, hey, you believe that when you die you go to heaven, right? And the Christians would say, absolutely. They said, really? Let me show you a couple texts in the Bible. So they would actually confuse the Christians, and all these other Christians were actually joining the spiritualists. But they messed with the wrong person one day. They came up to Moses Hull and they said, Brother Hull, you believe that when you die you go to heaven, right? He said, absolutely not. They're like, are you serious? He said, yep, let me show you what the Bible says. And by the hundreds and by the multitudes, Moses Hull began bringing in spiritualists into the Seventh-day Adventist church. But Moses Hull began to develop a problem after time. You see, one day, he wanted to go in to debate some spiritualists. And Ellen White and another brother counseled them, and they said, if you're going to debate these individuals, make sure that you take someone with you, another brother. He said, nah, I'm fine, I got this. And when he arrived to the location when he was going to go and debate these spiritualists, he had tried to present his ideas, and as he began to present his ideas, his tongue had cleaved to the roof of his mouth. And then he became a spiritualist. Ellen White writes a letter to him telling him that Satan had taken a hold of his mind. And he joined the ranks of opposition, and he became a spiritualist. Friends, if the pioneers fell away, guess who can also fall away? You and me. We can also fall away unless the only way that we will not fall away is if we examine the scriptures closely and have a personal experience with Jesus. When you study the investigative judgment for several hours a day, don't just study to accumulate head knowledge. Pray that God will change your heart through the study of the investigative judgment. This is the letter that Ellen White wrote to Moses Hull. Listen to this very closely. If you miss everything else that I mentioned in this sermon, do not forget this quote. It's found, first volume of the Testimonies, page 433, paragraph 1. This is after he had left the Seventh-day Adventist Church and joined the ranks of spiritualism. She writes, Brother Hull, God wants you to come near to him, where you can take hold of his strength and by living faith claim his salvation and be a strong man. If you were a devotional, godly man in the pulpit and out, a mighty influence would attend your preaching. You do not closely search your own heart. Here's the key. Listen to this. You have studied many works to make your discourses thorough, able, and pleasing. Was he a man of the scriptures according to this? Yes or no? You have studied many works to make your discourses thorough, able, and pleasing, but you have neglected the greatest and most necessary study, the study of yourself. A thorough knowledge of yourself, meditation, and prayer have come in as secondary things. Your success as a minister depends upon your keeping of your own heart. You will receive more strength by spending 1 hour each day in meditation and in mourning over your failings and heart corruptions and pleading for God's pardoning love and the assurance of sins forgiven, than you would by spending many hours and days in studying the most able authors and making yourself acquainted with every objection to our faith and with the most powerful evidences in its favor. The problem was, Moses Hull had a very good understanding of the scriptures, especially concerning the state of the dead. But when Ellen White writes the letter to him, She tells him that he neglected the most important study, which was the study of himself. Friends, I want to tell you this again. When you study, if you are studying for several hours a day, praise God. But there is a danger in that. You can accumulate so much head knowledge that you forget that the scriptures are meant to change our heart. And when the scriptures change our heart, as a result, we will be able to defend our faith and to withstand the heresies in God's church. And friends, if you are not studying God's word, I invite you today, when you go home, don't turn on the television. It's okay to spend time with your family, but don't forget to study God's word. That's why the Sabbath day has been given to us, to be sanctified. And Jesus wants us to be sanctified through the study of his word. So friends, I invite you today, if you are not studying the scriptures, to get acquainted with the scriptures, because it will only be a matter of time that you'll be sifted out if you are not searching the scriptures diligently. There's a difference between studying and reading. Grab your Bible. Compare texts with one another. When you're driving, there's a thing that is called the Bible audio. How many of you have that? Put it in your car, listen to it, and become familiar with the Bible. Because we need a change of heart, and we need to withstand the heresies in God's church today. How many of you, by God's grace, want to begin to study God's word to withstand the last day heresies? Amen.